This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row in a Bigger Picture and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In conjunction with World Day Against the Death Penalty on October 10th, I have in the studio with me Toshi Kazama, photographer and activist. Toshi, you were here at BFM about almost exactly 3 years ago, and then you were exhibiting photographs of people on death row and spoke in detail about your documentary, Juveniles on Death Row.
Yes.
What has changed in the last 3 years?
It's changed in the sense of people get more awareness in this region. I do the presentation here in Malaysia, as well as Thailand and Singapore. Whole region is a focus on the in the topics of mandatory death penalty for drug trafficking. So for that issue, people are focusing more about this issue of death penalty through the mandatory death penalty.
People are talking more about it, but the mandatory death penalty is still there.
Yes.
Yeah. What you are advocating for is actually to take it off the books completely, right?
Tell the truth. What my advocating is to respect life. I want to, everybody to respect their own life, but it should not stop there. People should, if you respect your own life and your family's life, you should respect others. You live safer and a more loving life, and then that's what I'm advocating. And at the very end of this, my activity, one part of it is the death penalty that I focus. Mandatory death penalty is one of them for drug trafficking in this area. Through this issue of mandatory death penalty of the drug trafficking, I wanted to focus not only drug issue, but to focus on the extend your love to the other people's life as well.
In 2012, I understand that Amnesty International made this report. It said only 21 countries carried out the capital punishment. And we have something like 195-196 countries in the world. In reality, only a very small portion of countries do that. It is on the books, mm-hmm. but it is practiced less, and therefore maybe it is not an issue anymore.
I wish there is no issue anymore. As you said, it's true. The worldwide trend is to abolishing death penalty, or at least to
not
the moratorium state. However, you know, like China is still executing a lot of people. Amnesty reported a few years ago is upwards, you know, from 5,000 to 10,000 a year. When you live in these regions, Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, or, you know, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, I mean, Korea doesn't really practice execution, but this law is still there. Is a focus of the world in terms of the human rights issues in this region, and the emphasis on the world community like Amnesty International, or European Unions, or United Nations. Everybody's focusing in this region to really to change and abolish death penalty here.
Now, based on the photographs that you brought the last time, what changes in the photographs you have this time around?
The photograph itself is pretty similar to what I have brought 3 years ago. But because my photograph doesn't really not to watch, but it comes with my words of my experience. So every time you see the photograph, either I speaking or the video or the small caption of my thought to the photograph. That has changed significantly.
So we may see the same photograph that appeared 3 years ago, but the words underneath it have
changed. Yeah.
So what has changed for you?
Well, I think it's just my life has changed in many ways. My kids has grown up. One of them is, I have three kids, and then one of them has trying to have a family of his own, and the second one is pursuing doctor, and this last one is junior in college, and then these people becoming adult and then becoming a responsible citizen of the world, and then the I have a huge support from my family to do this. So therefore, my reflection of the photograph has some part has never changed. However, how I interpreted this photograph to the other people and to the people in Kuala Lumpur or Malaysia is changing a lot.
The photographs are often of the people who are on death row.
Yes. And then also the victim's family who are murdered, and also the inmates' family members. And then you don't see the actual executioner, but you see the chambers that are executioner take a life of people.
From the side of the victims and families of the victims, what kind of story are we hearing that it might be consistent or inconsistent with the message that you are trying to express?
Well, you see, I am so glad that I have met so many victims' family whose family members are murdered, because some people are still in anger and hatred state, which is when I see them, they look so terrible. And then often they are escaping to the alcohol or the other activities. And then some people are trying to overcome. Only way they can overcome is with a feeling of love. Because meeting with these people has significant influence, because 10 years ago, I became a victim myself. I was on the street picking up my daughter, who was 9 years old back then, on Friday afternoon from a school. And then this man randomly chose me to attack from behind. No reason. And then he grabbed me from the back and smashed my head to the pavement. My skull was opened, and then blood was shooting, and I don't remember any of those things. And then I was immediately unconscious. I was in the intensive care unit for a long time. And so I myself became a victim. But, you know, my family went through a lot. My daughter, who was 9 years old back then, witnessed everything. I was unconscious for 4 days. And then doctor told my wife then that your husband has very little chance of coming back to life. But against all the odds, and then hopefully if he comes back to life, expect to spend rest of his life on the wheelchair. That was my family was told. On first day, I'm lucky. I feel very lucky. I woke up. My family, my kids, 3 kids, came to my bed, and then when I saw their faces, I see the faces never seen before, with a full of fears. I realized that, you know, they're so scared of what's going to happen in the future. So I told my kids, I'm okay, I'm going to live. And then I told them, hate the crime, get angry with the violence, but never hate a person. Because this perpetrator who committed this crime, to me, had full of anger and hatred. He didn't care less about himself or others. So he acted on this random act of violence. Nearly took my life away. My friends came over and told me that, Toshi, we're going to catch this guy. We're going to beat him up and we're going to kill this guy. I said, don't do it. Please. All I need is an apology. Because if I get angry and I told my kids that the get angry with this, let's find this guy and then this revenge, then my loving family will be tainted with his ill feelings of hatred and anger this perpetrator has. And it's almost like a, you know, contagious to our family, and we have to live with anger and hatred for the rest of our life. I didn't want that to happen. I was able to think this way of never hate the person, because I see so many victims' family. The only way they can overcome was such a tragedy of losing their family member was murder, was to focus love. Hatred and anger, if you live with it, you're going to destroy yourself and you're going to destroy your family.
Toshi, did you meet the guy who did this to you?
Never found.
They never found him.
They never found him. 3 months later, myself and my daughter went to a screening at the police station. There was like a
lineup.
Lineup. And my daughter was so scared. And I don't have any memory on the day. So I don't recall anybody. And then my daughter identified two out of this lineup, but couldn't identify one out of two, which was a good thing because we'd never wanted to put the point on the wrong person, finger on the wrong person.
At the end of the day, then I assume the message that you are trying to say is that it may be a heinous crime, but we have to forgive and move on and love.
Which is very, very hard if you think about if your loved one is being murdered or something. But I have to assure, you have to understand that the system is not for the victim's family. When the police get into the case of murder case, they only think about closing a case. And the prosecutor's job is not to find the right person, but to win the case. So often, this mentally retarded kid, they put the finger on this kid, and he will be sentenced to death. And then that's okay. That's a great job for prosecutors and police. And then the prosecutors will tell the victim's family, oh, you should be so lucky. We found the guy. He's on the death row. And then when the execution happens, everybody says, or friends and everybody, oh, yes, the guy is executed today. Now you can go on with your life. But that will never happen with the victim's family. Execution of the perpetrator of murder, or maybe they think it's murder, will not bring any loved one back. And then you have to go on with the life. I mean, often victim's family says, oh, when the guy was still alive in prison, we could always put the finger on this guy. Now he's gone, and everybody says case is closed, and we have to go on happily with our life. But that never happens. So
there's no closure.
No closure. One of my victim's family that I photographed mentioned very clearly to me how they can cope with this. She mentioned to me that, Toshi, my scar always remain in my heart. That never goes away. But I can change how I can look at my own scar. That's what she told me. That remained at me forever.
What more needs to be done to convince people that capital punishment is not the way?
First of all, I think if we have to focus on the crime should not happen in the first place. By only doing that is to, if you think your life is different from any other people, life to me is equal to anybody. It doesn't matter whether you're black or brown or yellow or white skin you have or any religion that you have. Life is equal. Whether you're poor or rich, you should be equal. And then if you love yourself, if you love your families, you should extend the love to the other people and then see what if you are on the person, how you want to be treated by other person. If you started treating other people how you want to be treated, that makes the whole world change. I mean, very simple things. I'm not talking about the law and the justice and how the system is right and wrong. I see so many wrong happening in the system, so many wrong happening in execution chambers, and then all the executioners that I met, Toshi, please tell the whole world what we are doing here so that I don't have to kill any more human beings.
Toshi Kazama. He's holding an exhibition in Give Life a Second Chance in One Utama Shopping Center from the 8th through the 12th. And then after that, from the 15th to the 26th at the Ledge Art Gallery in One Utama. Today, at 3 p.m., he's talking at the University of Malaya, Tun Mohammad Safin Auditorium. And then on Thursday, October 9th at 1 p.m., at the Nottingham University. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me again here.
This is Front Row, A Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Hing, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.